Our scripture reading is Mark 9, 30 through 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. When they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. And I would like to offer a prayer this morning that was shared with me by our women's Bible study group. Please join with me in prayer. Dear God, you have caused the scriptures to be written for our learning. May we so read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them that we hold fast your gift of reconciliation. May we so think, pray, speak, and act that daily we show ourselves to be a visionary steward. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have noticed that the voice is not necessarily as strong as it is some other Sundays. A little raspy. It's almost as though I was shouting and cheering at a football game last night. Almost! If you didn't know better, you'd think that I was at the AWC football game, cheering them on as they came back for an exciting victory over Mesa Community College. Yeah! Wow, that was one of the biggest amens I've gotten so far today. So, and I was. There's something exciting about being at a game or being at an event, a concert. And it proves to be worthwhile and fun and enjoyable. And then whenever you see somebody that was there, even the next day, you're still talking about it. Give each other the thumbs up. "Hey, good game, huh?" Actually, I had nothing to do with it. I was in the stands. But still, good game, huh? And you want to share that and you want to talk about it and you want to continue to remember those good feelings and that excitement. It's odd, then, that in our scripture passage, right at the beginning, Jesus, the second part of verse 30, Jesus did not want anyone to know it whenever they were traveling. He didn't want a whole group of people around as he was teaching. This was not some sort of concert or sporting event or gathering that you celebrate as a crowd. This was a moment of intimacy. This was a very personal moment. He did not want to know that he was traveling with his disciples, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, quote, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." The second pronouncement of the passion prediction in the Gospel of Mark. Sometimes the things that are most difficult to hear, most challenging, are offered in the most intimate, personal of situations and settings. Jesus wanted it to be just he and those who had been traveling with him, those who were closest with him, those who had the most personal relationship with him, to hear these words, because they were going to be challenging. And although they had not received them previously, he was going to share them again, and then he would share them again, letting them know that this is what it means to follow me. This is the path that you are going to tread as a believer. This is the kind of mission that you're going to have. To die to yourself and to be open to how God is forming you and working in you. Not to simply go in as a conquering hero, taking control, but rather first allowing God to take control of you and your heart inside, and then allowing that joy of God and that love to flow out. A whole different kind of mission and ministry. Jesus is sharing with them that he would be betrayed and that he would be killed, but also that he would rise again, because that is the pattern of discipleship that we have as well. To die to ourselves, to die to self-centeredness, to seek to be heading towards selflessness. That was part of our words of assurance this morning. And to know that in an intimate way, God continues to encourage us as we are open to that challenge. Having a personal saving relationship with God means that there's an intimacy that we enjoy, that we are privileged to have. And yet we don't lord that privilege over the world. We seek to share it. We don't live as privileged people, but we live as those who have the privilege of God in our lives and know that although we don't deserve that, God still loves us. And God still fills us. And God still molds us, even when we turn away from him. He seeks to literally bring us back into communion with him and talk to us and share with us and engage with us. That's why the next part of this scripture is wonderful. It really is. It's great. We kind of rush through this because we want to go ahead and get to the part with the cute little kid. But let me read this. But they did not understand what he was saying. Okay? So whenever you have an intimacy with God, sometimes even in that intimacy, you're not necessarily going to be paying attention. You're not necessarily going to be tuned in. Do you have anybody in your life that whenever you share something with them that you're wondering if they're actually listening to you? Now, don't look at the person next to you. Don't elbow somebody. Well, or elbow somebody if you need to, or point. Just do it gently. Don't startle them. And you ask them, you know, Judy did, okay, I'll go ahead and tell a story of myself, okay? You know it's coming. She said, oh, did you see the calendar today? What it said on it? Husbands, don't ever do this. I said, yes, I hadn't looked at the calendar, okay? It's one of those little dog calendars. She said, what it say? Anyways, so listen. Listen. Give it your best shot. They did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Even though they were close to him, they didn't realize that they could be vulnerable with him. Hear that. Even though they were close to him and he wanted to specifically teach them and convey a truth to them specifically, they were not willing to be vulnerable. There's a lesson there. God seeks our vulnerability. God will never take advantage of our vulnerability. God will never take advantage of our vulnerability. I wanted you to hear that once again, so that when we're vulnerable to Him and open to Him, and we're not sure of something, and we have questions, or we're wondering, or maybe even we're mad at God, and we shout out or we cry out, God receives it still. It's okay to ask. It's okay to respond when we really don't know what the future holds, or we're in the midst of darkness or brokenness. It's okay to ask God. They were afraid to ask, however. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about along the way?" Oops! What were you arguing about along the way? But they were silent. Again, embarrassed. Humbled in a different way. For on the way, they had argued with one another who was the greatest. Already had forgotten the teaching about being betrayed, about dying, about being killed, and then also about being raised again. Already forgotten about it and started thinking, okay, who's number one after the rabbi, after the teacher? Think about some of the conversations that you have had in your life. Think about some of the things that you have shared with one another. Think about even some of the thoughts that you've had, maybe about other people. And if Jesus came up to you and said, "What were you thinking or what were you talking about?" Maybe we would be silent as well. It's good to remember that what we share, what comes out of our mouths, what comes out of our minds, inevitably comes out of a heart that we have inside of us, that place of God in us that is growing, that is being nurtured and developed. And so if we allow it to grow, if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and open to God and allow that presence of God to get stronger and stronger in us, less of us and more of God, then what we say and what we share and what we think is going to be of God. And then whenever Christ is there asking us, "What are you thinking? What are you saying about that other person?" it can be something edifying, and we can respond and not be embarrassed. Can we be open to that, friends? Can we try? Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is the part that has been depicted in portraits, not portraits, but art, drawings, down through history. He sat down, called the 12. We know that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, so there had to be a bit of a letdown. Just whenever you feel, doggone it, that happened again, or they did that again, or I screwed up again, and you just kind of want to sit down and go, Jesus sat down. And he called the 12 and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be the first must be last of all and servant of all." Read that along with me. It's in verse 35, it's that second part there. "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then the dramatic part. He took a little child, put it among them, brought it into that circle of the chosen, of the elite. And taking it, that child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." A dramatic, dramatic activity that Jesus is doing here. I have to say that although the paintings that I've seen and the drawings that I've seen of Jesus playing soccer with kids, maybe some of you have seen that, or tossing a frisbee, or throwing a football, or, you know, doing things like that, and the kids are dressed as they would normally be today, and Jesus is there in his robe and his sandals kicking it around, it misses something for me personally. It misses something. And this is the reason. Not that there's anything wrong with that depiction, but it doesn't encompass the full power of what Jesus is doing here. It's not simply that Jesus calls us to welcome children. He calls us to welcome the powerless. In that day and in that age, children had no rights. They were seen as property of the father. They couldn't contribute to the household financially, to the community financially. So what good are they? It's not what Neil is saying. That's what the feeling was then and there. And yet, one of the greatest sins in the world today is the way that children are treated around the world. I would say, with great anger, that we need to be angry as Christians whenever we hear about children in slavery, children in sweatshops, children in other despicable situations. In those times, when we hear that, we are called to be indignant and disgusted and hear and let our voices be heard. Jesus here is saying something incredibly powerful. That one who is without power or authority or prestige, this is the one you are called to welcome. And when you welcome this child, understand, Jesus is giving the disciples a clear message here. You are called to welcome children, but when you welcome this one, you welcome me and the one who sent me. It changes it, doesn't it? It's no longer about power in a worldly sense, about accumulation in a worldly sense, about the prestige that we want, but it's more about following God's will and welcoming those who society doesn't see. Let's just put it that way. A friend of mine, a pastor friend who's since gone on to glory, had a phrase for those people called the invisible people. Those people that you continue to drive by. Those people that you see, but you actually don't see them. Or you pretend not to see them. The people that might challenge us to stretch ourselves, to come out of our comfort zone. Let's face it, it's often those folks who encourage us to be in the place or God zone that we really need to be. Out of ours and into where God would have us be. And Jesus is saying that to the disciples. Welcoming this one, you welcome me, you welcome God. How are we welcoming God? How are we entertaining God? Through welcoming one, through loving one that God has put in front of us that we may not normally spend a whole lot of time with. It goes back to the question that has resonated in the scripture passages in the recent weeks. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. Who am I to you? Am I simply a name? Am I simply one that you think of in a little stable? am I to you? Jesus seeks for us to accept him as the life-changing agent that he was sent to be for us. A whole new way of living. A whole new way of welcoming. A vibrancy that we can have in our lives when we let it flow and don't hold it back and are willing to love extravagantly and to be vulnerable before God in doing it all. What a joy it is for me to see all of you this morning and to know that you are seeking to love extravagantly, that you are seeking to truly hear what Jesus is saying, to knowing, as I'm looking out at all of you, that you are wanting to be his church in its fullest power. The good news is that God continues to work in all of us and each of us to change us so that we can die to ourselves, so that we can no longer be about gathering power, but rather serving God, and so that when we can welcome those who are ignored, who are abandoned, who are sick, who are powerless, who are hurting, as God has ministered to us in all of those circumstances, now we are called, friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to minister to others in a vibrancy and an abandon that the world has never seen before. I would invite you to be with me in a few moments of prayer right now, of discipleship. And as you hear the music, simply think about what has been spoken of today, dying to ourselves, being humble in our service and welcoming those who are on the outside, welcoming those who are powerless, loving those who God puts in front of us. These next few moments, simply open yourself to how God is going to bless you, to strengthen you, to do all of those things and so much more.